Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, and welcome to An Adventure in History. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Seaside Hospital, here this evening with Mac Burns, Executive Director of the Clatsop County Historical Society.
And you've been out in the sun.
I have. It's been nice. I mean, we've had some rain, we've had some sun, we have everything in June,
right? It's been an odd mix of rain and cold and sunny and beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't quite know what to make of it.
And we go out in all of it.
Do you?
I do. Two little kids, you gotta get out of the house.
That's true. But you know, I didn't comment last week, but high school graduation, Astoria High School.
Yes.
I have a graduate. Oh. Well, now I have two graduates.
Oh, that's so exciting.
But they had the big ceremony at the football field.
Yeah.
CMH Field. Mm-hmm. And it was very like, is it gonna start pouring rain on us? Is it not? It was a little cool, very cloudy, and I kept thinking, oh, we gotta go through this fast because it's gonna rain. It was like 5 minutes after it was all done, it started to rain.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was kind of like, wow.
Which helped the organizers because they're like, get out.
Get out, we want to clean up and go home.
Yeah.
We want to put the chairs away.
Clear the field.
And they had one of the graduates sang. Oh. I'm sure she was part of the choir or the jazz club or whatever it was. But she sang Gonna Be a Sunny Day.
Oh, that's
so it just
nice.
Kind of fit. I was like, oh, we hope it is.
Yeah. Crossing your fingers.
And then it rained on Goonies Day. Well, not Goonies Day. It rained on Goonies Weekend.
Yeah. That's okay, though. I have my little one in her Goonies Day outfit.
Does it still fit? Or do you
no, no, not that. You bought a newborn one.
I know.
I have an old one. This one's like been passed down.
Oh,
so
wow.
This is the last one. Cousins and all.
Goonies run deep in your family.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Or Goonians.
It was a good weekend.
Good.
There were a lot of people in town. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Oh, fun.
So, yeah, it was a very good.
We have a Goonie, sort of, in the house. It's self-described. Viviana, do you describe yourself as a Goonie?
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, she seemed a little surprised when you said that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well,
uh-huh. Viviana Matthews is joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Because in some circles, you know, that could be an insult.
A
I mean,
Goonie?
I don't see how it could be because I love the Goonies and I love
right.
the Goonies fans, but you know some people out there
yeah.
might just, you know, it might be like a Star Trek, Star Wars thing.
Oh, it could be.
So
I hate to say it, but I have never watched the Goonies.
Oh, okay,
my this
goodness.
Interview's over. Thank you very much for coming in.
And you literally work.
Like yes.
2.5 blocks
That's
from the
right.
Oregon Film Museum.
That's right.
Well, we can help you with this. So
okay.
As long we'll as you know to how later. To give directions to the Oregon Film Museum, that's all I care
yeah.
about. So. All right. Well, so because we have a fabulous guest again.
Yes.
We should get right to it. So okay. Let's get through the history highlights, the things that happened tomorrow.
Yes, Monday.
So these are June 14th.
Okay. I'm ready.
So I don't have a long list, but 1777, Congress adopts the Stars and Stripes.
Oh,
so not made by Betsy Ross. She did not design it. So, our flag. How wonderful
yeah.
is that? 1834, Isaac Fisher of Springfield, Vermont, patents sandpaper.
Ooh, that's interesting. It's an odd one.
And I wonder, like, what he was doing that he's like, if I had some paper that was really rough, yeah. this would help me on this project. I wonder if he was a woodworker.
And then how you make it,
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1847, Robert Bunsen invents the Bunsen burner.
Yeah.
Much to the chagrin of all bad science
yeah.
students science. In middle school and high school.
Yeah.
I was not a science star. 1922, Warren G. Harding becomes the first president to be heard on the radio.
I knew you'd like that one.
We always like everything about yep. radio here.
Yep.
And Warren G. Harding, my 44th favorite president. He's pretty down there on the list. 1942, Anne Frank begins her diary.
Oh.
That was in stereo. I like
yeah.
that. Mm. Although I have to say, I always feel a little, I mean, it's very eloquent and your heart breaks reading for all the dreams that this little girl had. But I always feel like it's a little violation reading her diary. She didn't want everybody reading her diary. Nobody wants everybody reading your diary.
It's true. That's why she should have been alive.
Yes. Well, 100%.
Right. Yes.
And I feel badly for the dad so much. I mean, his entire family.
Yeah.
And then to find that, you know, I don't know. I'd like to go to the house sometime, or the hidden apartment.
Yeah.
That's open as a museum. Mm-hmm. And I've seen like virtual 3D, like put goggles on, you can walk through it. And that's pretty amazing. So,
yeah.
So I'd like to visit there someday. 1976, The Gong Show premieres. All right, moving along. That was more for me. 1993, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court by Bill Clinton.
Oh, I love it.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But our history highlight of the day, the thing I think had the most impact on history, 1951, the UNIVAC, the first commercially produced digital computer, is dedicated. And it stood for the Universal Automatic Computer, and it was brought online to work at the Census Bureau.
Oh.
Oh.
I just like saying UNIVAC.
Yeah.
It just sounds like something out of Jetsons or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the UNIVAC, that's the beginning of the computer age.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
So the biggest impact. What'd I miss?
You did miss 1907. Women in Norway win the right to vote.
Isn't that only middle class women?
Oh, in Norway?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
I think there's some odd caveat of a certain social standing or economic standing.
Well, that makes sense, right? I mean, 1907, that's... Yeah.
I could be wrong. It has happened, you know, a couple of times every hour.
And then 1942, the Supreme Court rules that requiring students to salute the American flag is unconstitutional.
Ooh.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that's
Supreme
a big
Court
deal.
Ruling.
I bet it was the Jehovah's Witnesses, because I've seen a number of court cases. I don't know if that's one of them or not.
But were brought by the church itself or the organization?
Yeah, or a local student who was a Jehovah's Witness and didn't want to. So
interesting.
But yeah, wow, way to go.
Interesting.
Do they still do the pledge every morning in schools anymore?
Oh,
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Well, you'd have to ask your graduate. I don't have a little one yet in school, but I think they do.
I think they do, but I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know.
I hope they do.
Yeah. You know, just things that I miss or not connected to, and I know they've been back in school part-time for a while, but today when I was coming in, I got stopped by a school bus with red lights blinking and a little kid with a backpack. So like probably like a first grader ran across the street. And
And
I just realized I have not been stopped for a school bus in a year and a half. And it was very charming. I was the first car on the other side. So I had the full view of mom waving and the little kid running across the street. And it was very stupidly like nostalgic for me and charming.
Small moments. Yeah. We're building them back in.
All right, but we got a guest.
We are glad to have Viviana Matthews here tonight with us, Executive Director of Clatsop Community Action, an organization very near and dear to both of our hearts.
Yes,
and soon to be Max as well, because, you know, she's just going to win you over.
That's not going to be a hard sell.
It's not, I know.
Yeah.
But first, let's start with you. What brought you here to the Northwest?
Well, I will absolutely hate to admit it, but my husband.
Oh.
I always told myself that I will never run after a man. And sure enough, my husband is from Nisell, Washington. But we met in the big city of L.A. And he just couldn't take it anymore. He needed to come back home. And I follow him.
So did you agree to come back before you ever saw this place?
Well, I came to see it once during August. And it was super stormy. And I was not very happy with the idea of being in a place where it rains a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But
in
August, right? So just imagine myself in April. But once I moved and absolutely love it. Love the small community. I love the people that live in the small community.
Mm-hmm. So I'm always fascinated by first impressions because I had those first impressions because I'm not like Alana that was born here or raised here or deep ties here. So besides the rain in August, I mean, what other impressions did you have? You know, just anything like the people restaurants?
Well, I forgot about the stars. I was able to see stars at nighttime, and something that we don't have in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
The people are always so friendly, and they did not even know me, and everyone just smile on the street and say hi.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was so welcoming, and just being able to be a neighbor, essentially, that was a huge plus.
And did you guys move right to Nisell?
Right to Nisell.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That is a change.
So I remember arriving really late at night, and then the next day we came to Astoria, and I was so excited to see a big city. And I crossed the bridge, and it was Astoria. So It wasn't a big city, but still it was lovely to see that.
It's like a small neighborhood in Los Angeles.
Yeah, right. It was fine.
So how many years later now? Now
we are 21 years.
Oh, that's wow. Great.
21 years.
Mm-hmm. So I love the people were nice, because that's one of my takeaways. When I came here to interview, I played tours and I just walked around downtown Commercial Street, and I purposely mispronounced. I'm like, can you tell me about this Flavel House? And people were suddenly like wanting to be my tour guide and tell me everything else I should do. And I just thought, how charming is that? So I nice. Love that you had that experience.
That was amazing. It still is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what is your background that you got into this position that you're in now?
In social services, you mean?
Yeah.
So then when I think I was born to be a social worker. I went to school in Buenos Aires, Argentina. That's where I was born and grew up. And it was completely different, international relationships. And that's my degree in. And then, you know, I just came to Astoria and I was looking for work. My husband opened the paper and says, oh, there is a job here at Head Start. And that was my first association with a social service agency, Head Start. And I worked for Head Start for about 10 years as a family advocate and taking classes at Portland State. And then, as I mentioned before, I worked for Head Start for about 10 years in the social service department. And then I learned about Clatsop Community Action and what they do for the community. So I thought that was something that really impressed me, because of we were not only able to see the people who were Head Start students, but we were able to see a larger community. And that was very attractive to me. So I applied for a case management position. I got it, and here I am 10 years later.
Yeah. Executive director now. So that is quite a journey.
It is. I have learned a lot. I have learned a lot of different cultures within the culture. And also, I'm still learning. So that's something that I do not ever want to take for granted, because in the position that I am today, I have the ability to keep on learning, and I was born to learn. So that's why I think it's a great match for me to be doing social services. Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about I think everyone knows the organization exists, but they may not know, what does it do?
So what we don't do, so we are a social service here agency in Clatsop County. All the counties in the country have a community action agency. And then essentially it's helping people meet housing, food, and basic needs, and whoever qualifies for any kind of services that we provide. So in Clatsop County, we have, 39,000 residents, between 37 and 39, right? And then we see about 35% of the population that are seeing our services, either food banks. We only have one food bank here in Clatsop County, but food pantries and the rental assistance program and the energy assistance program, weatherization, veteran services, you name it. And people qualify according to their income and their needs too, because we do have the veteran service officer that is under the umbrella of Community Action Team. I'm sorry, Clatsop Community Action. And the veteran service officer sees all veterans no matter of their income.
I sort of think of Clatsop Community Action too as sort of a catch-all, because people can bring to you all of their needs, those basic needs that you mentioned. And so whether you can guide them immediately to some rental assistance, energy assistance, things like that, food, you also have the ability to connect them with everything else.
Right.
Childcare, which is challenging right now, and other social service agencies as well. So even our emergency homeless shelter works directly with you to get people in their doors and out of their doors as well. So you're doing a lot of case management for all of these other agencies at one location.
Mm-hmm. Right. If somebody comes in for, per se, just energy assistance, we make sure that the person is receive wraparound services, not only energy assistance, veteran services officers, the personal care pantry, and connect them also to with the health department about the pandemics, because we are partners with the health department. We have been helping the health department with the immunizations, vaccinations, the outreach, and And also we have been providing meals for the volunteers who work at the vaccine events and anything that the vaccinations might need, vaccination events. We also been doing wraparound services for people who need to quarantine. And what means wraparound services? Anything that a person might need for them to stay home so they, if they are COVID positive, they don't go to the store to buy a gallon of milk. Mm-hmm. We are doing all of that for them.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm kind of stunned at your stat that you see about a third of the population.
We do.
And how many of those are one time a crisis that you help them get through and you never see them again versus folks that need help on a regular basis for a while?
So that is a very difficult question this year. And just because of the pandemic, we've seen a lot of new people in, per se, the system. Just because people have not been needing the services, right? But this year has been a little bit difficult and different, very different from previous year. So if I need to talk about previous year, probably about 30% are new clients to our agency. And, you know, the majority, they do keep coming back because there is such a thing as a cycle of poverty. So a lot of people who are not able to pay their electric bill, they're also not able to pay rent, and then their income doesn't change much. So it's easier to come back to our office one after episode after the other episode. Mm-hmm. So we're there just to help anybody who needs our help. Mm-hmm. Because our fundings come from many different sources. So we receive state fundings, federal fundings. We receive fundings from Providence Seaside Hospital, Community Care. I mean, the fundings streams that come to our agencies are very wide. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, I love the partnership with Providence Seaside. So this is really their South County desk. They have a desk that's in the main lobby, the main entrance of Providence Seaside Hospital. And one of their employees, an intake specialist, sits there and is able to sit with a client or patient, anybody that walks in. It certainly does not have to be a patient. And right there in the lobby can get access to all of these services, or at least start that conversation so that they can do that. And then we partner as well with medical transportation for people that qualify. Because if they qualify for their program, then they would qualify for our program as well.
That seems like probably one of the biggest things that I could imagine, just people getting lost and how do I get help? Mm-hmm. And I need help on so many different levels, and
where
having
do I
that
start?
Person to walk them through and point them in the right direction, or let's sit down right now and make that call, or let's walk over to that office and helping. Because I imagine it's just incredibly intimidating to try and figure out where do I go? There's so many different agencies and forms I might need to fill out and other things.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, for sure.
What we learned at Providence, too, is often people come in for one need, energy assistance or transportation, and they don't want to deal with everything else. But the person that's there helping them does. So, still works through works with them to try and try to immediately qualify them for some of these other resources as well. One thing in healthcare is, too, that we always talk about is when somebody leaves you, the chance of them coming back or going out and furthering whatever you've told them to do decreases the longer you're away from them. So the fact that somebody can go to the doctor and then walk down the hall, literally just a couple feet for some people, or get off the bus, because we're on the bus line as well. And then it's also just South County versus the main office here in Astoria. So that access is huge because you really shorten that timeline between when they get all of those answers.
Right. It's a key to have an office at Providence Seaside Hospital. We've had that office since 2016, and it has worked. It's proven that it's working right, not only for our clients, but also for the medical providers as well.
It's a pilot project out of Providence Community Health Department.
Right.
And we were one of the first three.
Four, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And now there's 16?
Yes.
Across the state of Oregon.
So because we are technically kind of a history show.
Yes.
how does an organization with so many different aspects to it get started? Especially when I hear different funding sources, that just sounds like a logistical nightmare to juggle all of that and keep track of it all. But how do you even get started in something like that?
Well, on March 16th, 1964, President Lyndon Johnson delivered a special message to Congress declaring an unconditional war on poverty. And he asked Congress to pass the Economic Opportunity Act. And out of that, they would create these community action agencies. And so those community action agencies really had a goal of targeting poverty at its source. So they weren't specifically defined, and a lot of communities got to define exactly what they were going to be. But they also, out of that, started the Job Corps, work training, work study programs, legal services, and Head Start.
So I like so many of those things.
Even from the start, they knew that you had to offer everything. You couldn't just offer food. You couldn't just offer some of those.
And we're still working towards that.
One little tidbit I know.
We haven't solved poverty. The war isn't over yet.
They said the goal was to eliminate poverty by the 80s.
By the 80s. That well, was... they didn't. Did they say 1980s? Maybe it's the 2080s.
Yeah.
The 2180s.
1980s. It is an interesting history. And Clatsop Community Action, you said, started at the same time?
So then the St. Helens office opened up in the 70s. And then the St. Helens office was seeing all three counties, Tillamook, Columbia, and Clatsop. And then in the 1989, it's when it opened up Clatsop Community Action under the St. Helens office. And then in some of the programs, we still are under the St. Helens office community action team. Mm-hmm. But for the majority of programs, we are on our own. Mm-hmm. Lots of community action.
That's interesting. St. Helens, was there more need in that county than
here?
It had to do with
the population of the region. So okay. they were overseeing one region.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. I just never would have guessed if I was going to look at all the towns in the area.
Yeah, and they still have a lot of different programs, like the weatherization programs. Mm-hmm. It still runs under the St. Helens office in all three counties.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. The other little note I found, too, was in 1973, President Nixon tried to abolish it. And by doing so, he placed the director in charge of the whole program and told that director not to spend any money.
Oh, that's nice.
And the director agreed not to. The federal district court in Washington, D.C. ruled that the president could not refuse to spend funds allocated by Congress. And that's... Mm. Interesting, because it's been done before as well, but there's a federal ruling now, or after the 70s, that existed to prevent that.
Come on, Nixon, what are you doing?
But it's not only Nixon, though, because that continues through presidencies and through state and all of that, trying to reduce the fundings to social service agencies.
And how do you fight that? Are you at the front line of that as executive director, or is it at a higher level of a state agency or somebody else?
So it depends. So if it's a state funding, the St. Helens office take the lead, right? Mm-hmm. It's the community action team that represents our region. Mm-hmm. But if it's federal, it's on our own. So federal funding, it's through grant writing and competition. And we compete every year for the fundings for the housing programs. And also the food programs, that's federal. Some of them, it's federal. A lot of it, actually, is federal, in that it's by population. And they do, like, a census for the poverty and how many people live in the community. And that's how we get our allocation for the monies for food. And as I mentioned, they're all different programs, different funding sources, and my job is just to make sure that our fundings keep on coming, either by competition, grant writing. I do a lot of that lately, and in state too.
Mm-hmm. And the food bank is unique too, because isn't it under Department of Agriculture? Or what? Where's?
The Oregon Food Bank is.
Yes.
Right. And we receive fundings through the Oregon Food Bank. So the federal funding goes to the Oregon Food Bank, and then Oregon Food Bank distributes to the regional food banks.
And then the regional food bank, which is
our office,
in then distributes to, it's like 46 food pantries and food programs in our community. Mm-hmm. So all through one agency.
One agency, yeah.
Wow.
And that's a model that's existed from forever. I mean, I'm surprised it hasn't ever changed. I mean, again, that's a very unique model.
It is, and then we want to keep it that way because of... The regional food bank manages the funding that comes to Clatsop County under food, right? And the regional food bank is here locally in our community. And then we see the fundings or the food that is going, it goes to the food pantry. So it stays within our county. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an impressive place. I've taken a tour a couple of times with different groups, and it's pretty amazing. The people are so passionate about what they do and how they're helping. So what, I know you've got a lot of different aspects to what you do, but what program do you think touches the most lives or makes the most difference? I know everything's important, but is there one like, wow, half of the people we see, it's through the food bank or it's energy assistance?
That's a tricky question.
I figured it was. I figured it was kind of an ignorant question.
Yeah.
Too.
what I can say that we touch everybody's life is important, right? But what's important to us is making sure that we are providing the best service possible to our houseless, unsheltered, homeless population. It is extremely hard to be homeless here, anywhere, right? But especially here because of the weather and because of lack of services that we have. So to us, the homeless services is very dear to our heart. And if we can just give just a little hope to somebody who is experiencing homelessness, and then we'll feel gratified about our jobs.
So in the time that you've been with it for 10 years now, have you seen any times that, I mean, has the need gone down at all, or is it just always seems like it's getting worse?
It seems like it's not getting worse, but I think the leadership has, not only at CCA, but also all over the country, has really spoken out very loud that we need to keep helping our community. Mm-hmm. So that's why we are able to bring more services in. It's not that the need has decreased or increased. It's just the services are a little bit more available than they were 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And through the pandemic, that was, mm-hmm. I mean, a tough, challenging year. But you did, like you mentioned there briefly, that you did help with the vaccine task force.
We still keep helping with the vaccine task force. And not only that, but also the medical field has finally is realizing that the health of a person, it's the overall health, and that correct. Includes food and housing and all of that. Mm-hmm. It's all connected, all relatively.
Yes.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's when you get up in the morning and go to work, what's a really good day look like? Like today was just fantastic. Is it that you just got a grant, or that you mm-hmm. saw your services being used by somebody and got that personal story, or what? Give us
there's so many, but one of the greatest days is that the case management team or the people who work at the food bank keep coming back to work. And we were open 100% during pandemic. We did not close our office. The services were really a lot of requests through the day. And the people that work at CCA kept on coming. So I am there to support them. That, to me, that speaks volume.
That's great.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for showing up each day.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, I think that you make an incredible difference in the community, and I think a lot of us just don't even notice it because we don't need the services, but we're glad that you're there and that you are helping a third of our county, apparently, on a regular mm-hmm. basis.
Well said. So,
go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.